Welcome to the Empowering Agency Workers, a podcast for all temporary workers. If you're unsure of your rights, unsure how to find work, or just plain unsure, we're here to help. It's all too easy to be exploited, so your expert host, Julia Kermode, will empower you to succeed.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm delighted to have with me Tamsin Louise, and she's an author, and we're here to talk about giving yourself the best chance of succeeding at job interviews. Now, Tamsin has over 20 years experience on both sides of the table, and she has a huge amount of knowledge and experience, which she also combines with knowledge and understanding of business psychology. So I'm delighted to have you with us, Tamsin. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for asking me to be here. It's great to be here. And hello, everybody.
Brilliant. So let's get straight in, actually. So a lot of interviews at the moment are obviously being done online because we're still in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. I always think hopefully someone will be listening in 6 months or a year's time and think, what on earth was that? but that seems quite a long way off right now. But in terms of online interviews, do people need a bit of a different approach to online interviews as compared to in person?
Okay. I think actually it's a really interesting point that you've made there about the situation that we're in now and all these video interviews rather than face-to-face interviews. And actually I am starting to see a slight shift in who are applying for jobs. Because if we look back 2 years ago, people would only apply for roles that they could commute to.
Yes.
So kind of you've got like that maybe hour maximum commute because the business wanted staff to be face to face. And yes, there's a lot of industries where you have to go into work and you have to be actually in the office or in the manufacturing plant or in the shop or the restaurant or wherever. Mm. But now I'm seeing a lot of companies offering home working and
Brilliant.
Flexible working. And actually what that allows is that allows more people to apply for jobs and more options to be there. So if when you're job hunting, actually it doesn't matter, you can apply for a job with a company that's based in Scotland because they want you to be at home in your home office.
Yeah.
So I think I do wonder if we go look to the future and where this is all going to go, I think that we're going to see a lot more online working. So a lot more online interviews. And actually from an interviewer's perspective, my business is the interview cheerleader. That's
yes.
what I'm here to
Sorry, I should have said that at the outset, Tamsin. I was sitting here thinking, as we got straight into the interview, I was thinking, I didn't mention you, where you're from. I do apologise.
No, don't worry, that's fine. So I'm the interview cheerleader, which is why I'm sitting here talking to your audience. And I do everything interviewing. So kind of I'm that cheerleader supporting and helping individuals to interview success. Mm. But on the other side of what I do is I help businesses. So I have a really good insight as to what businesses want from their candidates that they're interviewing.
Yeah.
And actually from a perspective of somebody who has maybe 6 or 7 interviews in a day, actually doing them online is as effective because you're still getting to see the candidates and still getting to really understand them. But actually, instead of taking a whole day or maybe in some cases 2 days, you can actually do the interviews quicker by having them online. So I wouldn't be surprised if more and more interviews are being offered online.
So just picking up on a point you're saying about doing the interviews online and how that can be stressful for people. At the start of the pandemic, which was like ages ago, I found it really weird to be doing online meetings, but now it's completely second nature and it seems weird to me to actually have a phone call. and so to people who are kind of nervous about doing video interviews, I guess I would sort of say to them, actually, you will get used to it and it's probably not as bad as you think. And people worry an awful lot about, you know, maybe their house is not quite as they would like to present themselves for whatever reason, if they're in shared accommodation or whatever.
Okay.
But I think people can make the best of it, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. And do you know what? If you haven't done a video before, And chances are everybody possibly has, because obviously over the last year we've been videoing friends and family. But if you haven't, or if you're not very confident in it, ask a friend, ask a family member, and just say, can we just have a 10-minute chat? Can I just speak to you on video and just get comfortable with, first of all, seeing yourself on the screen? And that was my biggest thing. I hate seeing myself. And to start with, I was really, really distracted by thinking, oh my gosh, is that what my hair looks like? Oh my God. So actually just getting used to having your picture there. And also, one really big a couple of tips for people is make sure you look into the camera, because the camera's at the top of your screen. So the camera for me is here. And if you're looking at the person, so if I'm looking at you, my eyes are down. Whereas if I'm looking up here, my eyes, you can see my eyes and you think I'm looking at you. So always make sure that you're looking at the top of the screen. And then what that would do is that would then remove your picture of yourself. So you can't see yourself. And also, yes, you know, we're in this crazy time where actually we need to just find that space in our homes to have a video and to have peace and quiet and a good background. And I think actually everybody understands that things might happen. The doorbell might ring, the dog might create, the children might have a I don't know, something going on in the background. And we all understand that.
And the thing is, I'm sure if it came down to two candidates, say, at the end of the day, I would be massively disappointed if the sole decision for rejecting someone was because something went on in the background. I mean, that would just be, you wouldn't want to work for that sort of business.
You wouldn't. No. You wouldn't. And you know, I'm sure we'll talk about that, but that comes back to, you know, your core values. And actually, yes, you're being interviewed for the job, but you need to make sure that you ask the right questions and you understand the company that you're going to be working for. So I think that's really important. And if it's a case that you know something's going to happen, you can just say, I'm really sorry, the doorbell's just about to go off. I'm just, to stop the dog from barking, I'm just going to just mute. And you can mute, turn your camera off, go away for a couple of minutes and then come back. And that's fine. We all get it. So I think that moves on nicely to thinking about where you're going to be holding your video interview. And be aware of your background. So I at the beginning of lockdown, I interviewed somebody who had behind them, they had an unmade bed, they had last night's dishes, they had dirty clothes all over the floor. And, you know, I think it doesn't matter if you are doing an interview, you're sitting in your bedroom, that's fine. We all understand that might be the only place in your house. You might be in shared accommodation. It might be the only place you can go where you get some peace and quiet. But you can make sure it's tidy. You can position the camera. So sometimes what you could do is if you have a blank wall space, you can put a chair or you can sit on the floor with your laptop in front of you and all you've got behind you is a blank wall. That's okay. That's okay. Also, if you're using some platforms like Teams, and I believe on Zoom, you can create a background. So you do have the option of putting in a background. Now just be aware that there's some really, really funky backgrounds in there. Just keep it professional. You can have maybe an office space behind you, or you can even just blur out your background. And that will help as well. So just be aware of what's behind you, what's around you. Like I say, it doesn't matter what furniture is behind you, what you know, it in a way, it's great because as an interviewer, you get to see people's personalities and you get to see, you know, a bit about them. And that's, I enjoy that. I like that. But if somebody is really untidy and they haven't tidied up for an interview, I'll be questioning how they're going to interact with my customers or in the role.
I mean, you would try not to let that sort of thing affect you, but I really think it would me. It sort of shows a lack of
it's going back to what can you influence and what can't you influence. And that's a really good tip for mindset as well, and mindset ahead of the job interview. Don't worry about it if you can't change it. don't worry about it.
I think that's so true. It really is. Yeah. And I did want to get into mindset, actually. So that's perfect. In terms of, well, I mean, I think what I wanted to ask you was about how we can make ourselves come across confidently if we don't feel confident. And I've sort of interrupted you just as you were starting about mindset, but that's the question I had in mind to ask you.
I talk a lot about an inner critic. It's that inner voice, and I call it the inner critic.
Yeah.
And some people name their inner critic, because the inner critic is the person that you're about to go, or say you're about to go onto a video and you're thinking, yep, I can do it. I'm prepared. I know what I'm doing. I've got my video set up. I've got my background set up. Yep, I'm all ready. Oh, but have I done my hair? Oh my gosh, am I wearing something right? Oh, is that going to, oh, I don't think I look right. And if I don't look right, it's not going to work. And oh my gosh, I'm going to go quite red. I'm going to stumble. And within seconds,
you're in a different mood.
You're in a different space. And the inner critic has a job, and the inner critic's job is to protect us.
Right.
And it goes back to the whole fight and flight years and years, thousands of years ago. And how we've evolved as humans, we've still got that instinct inside us. We've still got that fight and flight. Your inner critic is going to try and protect you to stop you from being disappointed.
Okay.
That's their job.
Yeah.
And what I say is, we need to give your inner critic a voice. By shutting, I've got a good quote, and I say, just tell your inner critic to sit down and shut up. And that's fine, but you need to let them talk first. Because if we suppress your inner critic, they're still going to be niggling away, and they're going to be sitting with your child going, you haven't listened to me, you haven't listened to me, you're going to fail, you're going to fail.
Okay.
By actually saying to your inner critic, okay, what is it that you're saying? And listening to your inner critic, because your inner critic might be saying, actually, have you got the experience that's relevant for this job?
Mm.
And if you say, if you listen to the inner critic and you think, have I got the experience? If you just say, no, inner critic, I believe you, your confidence is just going to go through the floor. You're going to think, I haven't got the experience. I don't know what I'm talking about. I can't walk into the room. But actually, if you write down and you say, okay, so what experience have I got? What can I bring to this job interview that shows experience that I've got? And then you just need to go back over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. If you've got 3 or 4 years experience in a role, if you haven't, look back over your life, because there's going to be experience that you're going to have experience deep down, it's there. And actually by figuring out your experience and what you're really, really good at, because everyone is amazing, everyone has fabulous qualities, you just find them.
Yeah.
And by finding them and writing them down and relating them to the job that you're going for, the company that you're going for, actually you'll start to increase your confidence, because you'll see and you're showing your inner critic, actually you're asking me, have I got the experience? Well, you don't think I have got the experience, but actually, Mr. Inner Critic, I've got experience in A, B, and C, and this is the example to give you, to show you that I have got the experience.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you'll be confident, because you're like, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah. And I guess also there's the other point to bear in mind is that people wouldn't have the interview if the people on the other side of the desk didn't think that there was a possibility that they could do the job. So that's already something in their favour by virtue of having that interview time.
Absolutely. Yes. Always remember that. You know, you've been chosen for that interview because of your experience, because of your CV. And what you need to do is walk into that interview room and show them.
Mm.
Show them how great you are.
I think a lot of what you're saying is around that preparation, and I think that could be where some people do fall down, because also if say the interview is something that you kind of trying to avoid in your own mindset, then I can understand that someone might be completely unprepared, leave it to the last minute, then be in a complete panic before the interview, etc. So it's well worth, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure that there's a recipe that that would work for everyone. But if it was me, I would probably try to go through some stuff the day before at the latest. So then then I'm prepared. And then in that last bit before the interview starts, if I do have notes and things to remind myself, I think that that's the time to have that. But I mean, what's your experience? As I say, I don't think there's one size fits all, is there?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I've got, you know, I've created a lot of courses and books and things around this and the interview mindset. And you're absolutely right. Talking and preparing your mindset is you're halfway there.
Yeah.
Because if you're somebody who can explain to your interviewer who you are and believe that you are capable and you are going to excel in this job, you're going to come across the right way.
Yeah. What? This is a big question. What are the typical sorts of questions that you would always recommend people prepare for? Now, I guess probably some of the questions vary according to job level and that sort of thing. But what are the things that kind of always come up that you would recommend you need to have an answer for this?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll answer that in a second.
Okay.
One thing I will say is always have some questions to ask.
I love that. Whenever I've interviewed people, if they don't have questions for me, I think, well, aren't you interested? Because when you're recruiting, you're kind of selling your business as well, and you want to create a good impression. And if you've put a load of work into the recruitment process and the person being interviewed doesn't ask anything, it's a bit of a blow.
It absolutely is. And actually, by asking questions, you can show your interviewer that you've researched the company.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's huge, because actually, even if it's just taking you half an hour of your time, it really shows them that you're interested and that you want the job. Mm. So always, always ask the interviewer questions.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Even if it's, you know, something like, how long have you worked for this company and why have you stayed so long?
Yeah.
What first attracted you, or what's the best thing about your job?
Yes. Everyone likes to talk about themselves. I like that.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's it. So I think every interviewer will ask different questions. Mm-hmm. So having an idea of what your strengths and weaknesses are is a really good idea. Mm-hmm. But don't expect an interviewer just say, tell me your strengths and weaknesses.
Okay.
It's going to be hidden in a question somewhere.
Yeah.
Because, and I think nowadays, especially when we think about the world of competency-based interview questions, which is all around really, it's tell me about a time when you have, tell me about a time when you haven't achieved a goal. How did that make you feel? What did you learn from it? Actually, that's going to identify someone's weaknesses. Mm. But actually, it's also going to give you a strength as to how they have learned from it and how they've moved it forward.
I was just going to say, if the interviewee says, I've that's never happened to me, frankly, you're not convinced by that answer, or I wouldn't be.
No, absolutely. And, you know, if you haven't got experience in the sector that you're interviewing in, or if you maybe haven't, you know, this might be your first interview you've ever been to. You might be thinking, oh my gosh, how on earth do I answer that question?
Yeah.
You can relate it to anything.
Yeah.
Just explain why. So if you ask that question, tell me about a time where you haven't achieved a goal. It might be you haven't achieved a goal at university, or it might be you haven't achieved a goal at college. It doesn't necessarily have to be experience in the workplace if you haven't got that experience. Obviously, if you're, you know, if you're my age and I start talking about college, the company might be like, hang on a second. So it needs to be relative. I would always say try and keep it to the last couple of years, really. But as an interviewer, it doesn't matter if it doesn't relate exactly to the job that I'm interviewing for, because what I'm looking for is I'm looking for core values and who person is and what their beliefs are and how they're going to behave. And actually, by saying tell me about a time that you haven't achieved a goal, all of us, nobody's perfect. There's going to be times when all of us haven't achieved a goal. It might be a personal goal that we have, it might be a professional goal, it might be an educational goal, but actually it's how does that candidate tell me about what they haven't achieved? And how did it make them feel? And what did they learn from it? I'm going to find a lot about out about the person by what they're telling me.
Yeah.
So that's something to bear in mind. The other really common question is, tell me about yourself.
I hate that. I'm like, well, yeah. you've had my application, but that's just me. That's just my gut reaction, and that's not helpful for our listeners. So how should our listeners be much better than I am at answering that?
So what an interviewer isn't looking for is, they're not looking for your favorite place to go on holiday, how many cousins you have, and what your favorite food is. Okay, so tell me about yourself. You've got to keep it succinct, and you've got to keep it relevant. So there's three different ways to answer this question. Okay. So the first thing you need to answer is, you need to be telling the interviewer who you are.
Okay.
So an example of that would be, I'm an MBA graduate with a strong background in the financial services industry. That's who I am.
Right, yeah.
For me, I would say I'm the interview cheerleader. I support individuals and teams to career success. Mm-hmm. So it's relevant to who you are. The second part is, tell the interviewer why you are qualified for the role you're interviewing for. So an example would be, over the last 5 years, I've developed my skills as a financial advisor and team leader. I have won Financial Advisor of the Year 2019, have been promoted twice. I excel at training and developing staff and managing my team to success. So you're telling them why you're qualified for the role, okay, why you should be there. So yep, for me, I've put with 20 years leadership training and development experience, I've interviewed hundreds of candidates, and I can bring experience of business psychology along with knowing exactly what the interviewer is looking for.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And then the third part is, tell the interviewer why you're attending the interview. So it could be something along the lines of, whilst I enjoy my current role, I'm ready for a new challenge. The role you have to offer will enable me to bring my expertise and experience to a new organisation, as well as providing me with the opportunity to develop and grow.
Okay. Okay.
So there's three parts there. So tell the interview who you are, why you're qualified for the role, and why you're attending the job interview.
Okay.
And then that will allow candidates to keep it very succinct, have a very clear answer.
I think it's probably worth preparing for that question, because it does come up quite often in my experience. Not that I've been interviewed for a very long time, but it is one of those kind of classic questions in a way, I had never realized that there is a sensible way to answer it. Breaking it down into those three core elements, I can see, if I was on the interviewer side of the table, that would really work for me, because that would remind me why we've selected that person to come in or come online. And it's just useful to kind of set the scene and remind the interviewers about that person.
One other thing that's a really big red flag for me if I'm interviewing is, if I ask somebody why you're leaving your current role, what I don't want to hear is a list of 20 reasons why that company is terrible.
Yes, I mean, you might be feeling quite aggrieved for whatever reason, but you know, stuff happens, doesn't it? So you should never ever sort of really go to town and complain about a past employee, because you never know.
As an interviewer, I'll be feeling, okay, so if they're really talking negatively about this previous company, what else they talk negatively about?
Yeah.
So really understanding the person's core values. And I suppose it's because with my psychology hat on, I'm like, actually, I really want to understand who that person is and how they, if they are professional, if they can remain professional, if they're kind, if, you know, just their values, because actually all of that's really important to me. And if somebody starts to really talk negatively about someone else, that will be a red flag for me.
Yeah, even if they might have good reason to, you're quite right. And we've sort of touched on it a little bit, but what about people who might be changing careers and that sort of thing? And this is impossible to answer, probably.
If you've been working in a restaurant, for example, yep. so that's probably, you know, at the moment there's restaurants are closed, yep. So actually, you know, if you've been working in a restaurant, the transferable skills that you have are going to be your communication skills, your customer service skills, your planning and organizational skills.
Yeah.
Those three skills will be transferable to an office yeah. environment, for example.
Yeah.
So actually how you talk to customers, how you handle complaints, how you organize yourself and your staff or your days or your tables, and how you communicate with people, all of that yeah. is transferable.
Yeah.
So always look for the transferable skills that your new role or the company that you're interviewing with for the role, what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And then look at your transferable skills, and there'll be a lot of overlap in there.
Yes.
When I'm interviewing, I don't select candidates that are necessarily in the sector that I'm interviewing for. I look for those transferable skills.
Yeah.
Because they're things that are inbuilt, they're within us.
Yeah.
Actually knowing the sector and knowing the company is something that can be taught and
yes,
learned.
Yes, that's true. And also I think some businesses may want different perspectives anyway. You if Absolutely. You're running a business, you do not necessarily want all of your team to be clones of one another, because then you never get a different Absolutely. Perspective and a different view. And just on customer service, it's always something that I think is so important to any role. So I will always be interested in anyone that's had that kind of tough customer facing role, because it really sets you up for all sorts of different things going forwards. But that's just my personal view.
No, I absolutely agree.
Any top tips to conclude with?
So I think if you're feeling lacking confidence or you're concerned about your job interview, and I'm not talking about normal nerves, everybody has nerves and nerves are good. But if you're really struggling, take some time to prepare and prepare your mindset.
Yeah.
Try not to worry the night before. Try to get a good night's sleep yeah. the night before. I know that's difficult, but if you've prepared effectively and you've taken the time to prepare, obviously in some situations you're offered a job interview tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, Tamsin, what are you talking about? Because I don't have the time to prepare.
Yeah.
By working on your mindset now, you will have those tools and techniques in place to help you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So go into the job interview. You are amazing. You have been selected because of your experience. And just go in there and show them how amazing you are. And you can do that by working on your mindset and really believing on it.
Yeah.
On your mindset, believing in yourself. And as I said at the beginning, if you are doubting yourself, actually to hear me say just believe in yourself, you might be thinking, well, that's not easy at all. I know it isn't easy. But I have, you know, I know it can be done with the right tools and techniques yeah. and tips. And we've covered an awful lot in this podcast. But if you head over to my website, theinterviewcheerleader.com, there's I've got some blogs on there that you can read that will help you with your mindset and kind of preparing for it as well.
Fantastic. So. That's really helpful. And I'll put a link in with the show notes. And the other place you can go is obviously Tamsin's book, which I will also put a link in as well. But believe me, Tamsin knows her stuff. So this is great. And one of my favorite things we've said is to our listeners, you are amazing, because you are amazing. If you've got a job interview, you by inarguably are amazing. So, you know, absolutely. just think on that. That's my yeah. favorite takeaway from the show. So
absolutely. The other thing I will say, just one more tip. Mm-hmm. If you have been for a job interview and you've come out and you're feeling really excited, because sometimes we go for things and we're like, oh my gosh, I really, really, really want that job. And it's excited me. The company sounds great. The people sound great. I really want to work there. Drop your interviewer a note and just say thank you and tell them how much you enjoyed it and tell them how much you want to work for that company. because that will go far.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that is a really, really good top tip. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, I think partly because the interviewer has invested a lot of their time and energy into it, and to hear back from a candidate that hasn't been a waste of their time is quite good. Fantastic. Well, I've absolutely loved chatting to you. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm sure we'll have loads to talk about in the coming months. So yeah, thanks a lot, Tamsin.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Empowering Agency Workers, hosted by Julia Kermode. For more information on today's discussion, please visit iwork.co.uk, where you can also join our growing community. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, then we would love you to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week.